Okay, good evening. Sorry we took a few weeks off, but we are on Da'as Tefillah, shir number 65. And we're almost finished with chapter 3. How about that? Probably 2 weeks or so, 2 to 3 weeks. We'll be done with chapter 3, and we'll move into very, very different stuff. We'll start talking about the karbanos and how the karbanos reflect on our tefillah. But remember, what we've kind of done so far is we've looked at first how the times of the day can teach us about the different tefillos, and then about how the three avos can teach us about the three tefillos. And what we've been doing for a month or two now is taking a very deep dive into who the avos were, what they represented, what they did, and thereby trying to understand the tefillos that they created. So let's just remember some important things before we hit this very, very difficult piece that we're going to try to get through tonight. We've said that rachamim, that the attribute of mercy, is not, when it comes to the divine, what we think about it when we think of human beings. Mercy, when it comes to human beings, is almost a fault. It's a nice fault because the person's nice. They don't go through with their plans. But when we have mercy on someone, we just feel bad. And we almost don't do what we're supposed to do. It doesn't really represent truth when we have mercy on someone. It represents the fact that whatever the truth is, we're not able to exactly to carry through with that. They deserve punishment, and we say, okay, forget it. We'll let you go this time. When it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mercy is something that is very calculated. Mercy is not a thinking out on one of the midos. It's actually a calculation. It's actually the combination of chesed and din. Remember, what chesed is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to succeed. He created this world so we can succeed. He created this world so we can do good things and we can earn even better things. In order to hold us responsible, in order to allow us to achieve our potential, he created something called din. He created something called judgment. But even judgment is supposed to be there to make us better. It's there so that we can earn certain things. It's there so that we can rightfully grab a piece of Olam Haba, that one day when he rewards us for what we did, it won't just be him doing chesed for us. Most normal people don't like to have chesed done for them. They feel uncomfortable. They feel much more comfortable when they feel they've earned something. The problem with that is, what if you didn't earn it? What happens if you didn't succeed? What happens if you failed, if you're deserving of punishment? So that's where mercy comes in on a divine level. What mercy means on a divine level, and this is important to understand, it's not just a theoretical idea. It's when we ask Hashem for mercy, when we ask Hashem for mercy on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, what are we asking for? Are we asking that we should get away with it? How many times can we say the same thing and just get away with it? We're told that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't forget what we do. He doesn't let us get away with it. So what is mercy? So we explain, based on a very important piece from Moshe Chaim Lutzato from the Ramchal, that mercy means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu works out a system where we're given more time to get it right. The ultimate goal is that we get it right. The ultimate goal is that he'd be able to reward us. But if every single time we made a mistake, it was game over. If every single time we did an Aveira, our life was extinguished. And on some level, we deserve that. We sinned in the presence of the king. He told us not to do something, and we did it right in front of him. But that doesn't work for a long-term goal. It may accomplish a short-term goal, but if our lives are extinguished every time we make a mistake, so we'll never be able to grow, we'll never be able to earn that. Mercy, when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is to give us another chance, to give us more time, to allow us a lifetime to grow. Even though on some level we spoke about the beautiful idea that every day is a microcosm of our lives. It starts with great ideals and great things, and then we kind of get caught up in stuff, and then we're tired at the end, and we look back and we say, did I get it right? Every day is a microcosm for life. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't expect us to get it right on the first day. This game of life that he gave us, and our lives are really a long game of life, this game of life that he gave us to grow, to become better, is meant to be played out over a very long time. For most of us, it's meant to be played out over decades and decades and decades of becoming a little bit better. Not to have one thing and to get it right or get it wrong, but decades and decades of work of becoming better every year, better every month, better every decade. And that's the idea of Rachamim. Rachamim says he works with us. He understands, he doesn't apply one system to us. He doesn't apply just chesed. You can do whatever you want. I love you, but then you're not going to grow. He doesn't apply just din, where he says, that's it. If you made a mistake, we're done with this. In every situation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows us. He loves us. He's not only a loving parent, but he's a wise parent. He's a parent who understands what we need in order to be able to go from step to step, from year to year. And that's the idea of Rachamim. Okay, we said that Avraham Avinu embodied chesed in an extreme way. Everything was about chesed. I love everybody. I even love the people in Sdom. I love everything and everyone. Even Sdom is worth putting in a too good sense for. And there were not two good people there. Yitzchak was incredibly demanding, primarily on himself, the way he should be. He wasn't demanding of others. That there's never a midah in that. But demanding of himself, he kept to himself. And he was incredibly demanding with his every moment and every single action. But those two don't work for a typical person. A typical person, the future of the Jewish people, won't succeed if you just do chesed, and can't succeed if you just do din. There has to be this brilliant concept called Rachamim, which is making it work. The delicate balance between those two things. Yes, Sophia.
I think that, you know, mentioning that, like, that whole idea of, like, black and white, you know, either someone's very good or very bad, and, like, you can't judge a person based on one thing. But, like, let's say someone does something that's, like, really, really, really annoying. Like something very, very hurtful.
Right.
I'm just like you don't necessarily like.
So HaKadosh Baruch Hu would say that what we're learning about it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's approach to it is to give the person time and the ability to go on, to get that right. Right. Mm-hmm. In other words, nobody gets it right at first.
Yeah.
Right. And the question is, do we allow the person to grow into a better person? Again, it's a little bit different because we're not responsible for each other the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responsible for each and every one of us. Mm-hmm. Right. In other words, it may be better for us to forgive and forget just for our own sake. God doesn't have hangups. He doesn't lose sleep. Mm-hmm. He doesn't get distracted. So for him, it's fine to keep everything on his mind all the time and to have this and that. For us, for a lot of reasons, we mostly should worry about our own pluses and minuses. The more we worry about others, the more we get distracted from it. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no problem multitasking, right? And no problem looking out for how to make it work for everyone, okay? This is the Midah of Yaakov Avinu, and probably the most clear approach to this is that which is said by Rav Yitzchak Kuttner and the Pachad Yitzchak. I will admit that I had to go through this passage with several of my chaverim and rabbeim to try to understand what he means here, but I'm going to give you what our consensus is as to what this idea is and what it is that he's saying. So here we go. Yaakov shemizeg et shtei avot amidot b'shlemut. Yaakov was the one who put together, right? Who put together these two. What does it mean to put together chesed and din? So I would think that you're making a soup out of it, right? Not too much this, not too hot, not too cold, right? That's what you're supposed to do. Avraham Avinu was on fire. Yitzchak was cold, and he put it together, and now it's warm, and everybody's happy, right? Like the three little, like Goldilocks. That's not what Yaakov did. Hu tsurat adam hashalem, that represents the fullness of what it means to be a person. Bechir sheba avot. The Medrash Rabbah says that Yaakov was the ultimate. Yaakov was the ultimate. Now, it's not Avram's fault. It's not Yitzchak's fault. We pointed out that the reason why we needed an extreme Avraham and an extreme Yitzchak was to understand what it means to really be a Baal Chesed and to really be a Baal Yira. They weren't meant to be lasting prototypes. They were meant to show us those two things in their purest form. Hu ha'ish tam shedmuto chakuka al kisei hakavod. We say about Yaakov that his face is on the kisei hakavod. The malachim, the Medrash tells us that the malachim that came down up and down the ladder, they were looking at this guy on the ground, and they were like, hey, I think I've seen that face before. And then they would go up to the top of the ladder, they would see the holy throne of God, and we say, yeah, that's the same guy, let's go look at him again. And they would go down, and they'd say, yeah, that looks like the same guy. For some reason, because Yaakov put together the midos of Avram and Yitzchak, so he got his face on the kisei hakavod. So again, I would have thought that just means he's the right guy. Just right, like in the story of Goldilocks. Just right. So he's a nice guy. That's why his face is on the kisei hakavod. That's not what it means. It's not what it means. And this, by the way, is such an important thing to understand any centrist position, including centrist orthodoxy, is what we're about to see. Heitiv lahagdir et ha'inyan bal pachad Yitzchak b'lishono hazahav. The best one, the best formulation of what it meant to be Yaakov was done by the Pachad Yitzchak, by Rav Yitzchak Hutner, in his golden language. This is what he says. Omek ha'kavona bazehu. Kikvius midoso shel Avram haisa be'ava. Avram was a loving person. We all know people like this. Avram's mida, when Avram was a little kid, he gave everybody a hug. When Avram was a little kid, he related to this. He felt that the best way that you should be is a loving extrovert. When he saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what he wanted to imitate. Elish al yada shel midazu haya oved legalot et dimoy hatzur liyotzra. Again, he was a loving person. Through his loving personality, he tried to have others better understand a loving God. Did Avraham have a personality? Yes. Avraham was a loving person. And he saw, therefore, the love of Hashem for people, and he tried to reflect that. Just like we say, sometimes a person looks at their nature, they look at their kochos, and they say, this is what God has given me to bring his way out into the world. Similarly, v'hu adin b'midas pachad Yitzchak, ki kvius midaso shel Yitzchak kaisa b'yira. He was a God-fearing person. When we said at his funeral, who was this man? Everybody said, wow, he was Mr. Yira. Elisha al yada shel midazu, haya oved legalot edim hatsura liyotzo b'mikzo hazeh, and through who he was, he took his koach. Right? There are people who are introverts. There are people who are extroverts. There are people who relate more to loving God, and there are people who relate more to fearing God. There are people. I always used to say in Holliswood, you know, there are Tisha B'Av Jews, and there's Purim Jews, and there's Yom Kippur Jews. Right? We all have a holiday that we tap into because by nature we have a certain personality. Part of the reason, if you think about it, it's fascinating why we have so many different holidays during the year is so that we can use all the aspects of our personalities in order to connect to Hashem. Even though I may be, I'm a Tisha B'Av Jew. That's really sad, but it's true. Tisha B'Av is the day that if I commemorate properly, I am right in line with Tisha B'Av. Maybe I have a little bit of a depressive view on the world. Maybe I spent too much time in my youth group time getting people to cry and getting people, whatever it is. I'm a Tisha B'Av guy. I wouldn't want every day to be Tisha B'Av, but Tisha B'Av, I am in the zone. I don't need to get myself into it when Tisha B'Av is here. But I have a fun personality, I hope, and I get to use that on Purim. And I'm able to lead the davening, and I get to do that at Ne'ilah. It allows us the different Yom Tovim and the different mitzvos, if you think about it. It gets us to exercise. When I first started using a personal trainer, I never realized there were so many muscles in our body. There are so many muscles you didn't know existed until you have to work them, and then they hurt. So there are emotional, they're parts of our personality. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, use all of these pieces to reach me. I'm going to give you different times of the year, different holidays, different thing. Avraham was an Ava guy. He was that guy. He was the Chabad guy. He was the loving, hugging, the Gevaldik, right? Yet Yitzchak was the stoic Rosh Yeshiva. That was his personality. He would have been a stoic accountant if he wasn't a stoic Rosh Yeshiva. And he used his personality to reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to get others to identify with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shiny Yaakov, back to the text, Yaakov was different. Shelo hayalo mida kavua klal. He didn't have a fixed set personality. Ela shedimoy hatsura liyotzra, he midato. What was Yaakov? Yaakov was trying to imitate the fullness of God. It's not that he had a pleasant personality and therefore he tried to channel that personality into Avodas Hashem. His whole mahus, his whole self, was trying to make himself as godly as possible. God is not happy. He's not sad. He's a combination of both. He has elements. There are times in the year where we serve him in one way. There are times in the year. Imagine a person who rises to the occasion of every Yom Tov equally, because they don't have a particular personality that locks them into one another. They're able, like a chameleon, to move from one way of serving Hashem to another way of serving Hashem. Such a person actually is a better reflection of God than someone who has a strong personality in one direction or another that only reflects one aspect of what it means to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The love of Yaakov was as passionate as the love of Avraham. The fear of Yaakov was as trembling as the fear of Yitzchak. But he was able to harness his emotions and his intellect to bring the correct midah to whatever was before him at that moment. He was both the Chabad guy and the stern Rosh Yeshiva, depending on what the moment called for. And as such, you wouldn't describe him as a person who was a loving fellow or a fearful fellow. He was a fellow who abnegated himself and said, I am whatever God needs me to be now. Fully in the moment, fully in wherever he was. It took a lifetime for him to get there. And he had many ups and downs. He's the one who has the most wonderful family, but it didn't look wonderful for many, many years. So Elisha Dimoy Hatsura Liotzra, he midaso. His midah is to be what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me and needs me to be now. When it comes to Avram and Yitzchak, they have a natural personality, and they channeled that personality into the service of Hashem. Yaakov's personality was a reflection of whatever God needs me to do right now. V'madregaso shel Yaakov gam ha'ava v'gam ha'yira einon ela ofanim shel dimoy hatsura liyotzra. He was a loving person, and he was a fearful person, but he wasn't loving because by nature he was a loving person. He wasn't fearful because by nature he was a cautious person. He was loving and he was fearful because he understood that at a particular time that's what God needed him to be. B'madregasam shel Avram v'Yitzchak ha'ava v'hayira hein ha'avos. This is what he says. Listen, this is all Rav Huttner. How Rav Huttner came up with this and said this is quite amazing. He said, when it comes to Avram and Yitzchak, they represented love and fear. That was the main thing, was that they were about love and fear. The dimoy hatsura liotzra. Dimoy hatsura liotzra means the extent to which I'm like my creator. He had told that. That was an aftermath. They were Ava and they were Yira. And they used that natural personal inclination to be more like God, or to show people that aspect of God. The madregaso shel Yaakov, however, at the level of Yaakov, dimoy hatsura liyotzra hu ha'av. Yaakov's level was, I am going to be whatever God needs me to be. I am going to be multifaceted like God is, so to speak, multifaceted. The ha'av of ha'yira hein toladot. I'm not naturally happy, loving, naturally fearful. I look at God and I say, I need to at times be one and I need to be at times the other. Umipnei kein hamida keneged mida, the recompense, what only makes sense, shel avhuso shel Yaakov avinu, sheikunin shelo chakuk lamala. It only therefore made sense that Avraham's, that Yaakov's face was on the Kisei HaKavod. Because he had no independent personality. His personality was a reflection of God. A reflection of the way God runs the earth. He was synonymous with God. Shlemos Chibur Neshama V'Guf. Achdos shebein elyonim letachtonim, sula mutzav arza v'roshom magi hashamayim. That ladder, of course, we know in Jewish thought, Kabbalistic thought, the ladder that Yaakov saw that connected at heaven and earth was much more than about a bunch of angels. It was about the fact that his soul spanned and could easily move, right, between heaven and earth. Shleimuzu shebein neshama v'guf me'afsheret et bikiyata shel harat haneshama derech haguf. It allowed his neshama, his godliness, could be reflected in his earthly existence. When one saw him, one didn't see love, one didn't see fear, one saw God. Zehu yofio shel tzuras adam. That is the beauty that a person can reflect. A person can be a reflection of God. Chachmat Adam ta'ir panav. The wisdom of a person. If a person can really tap into the way God works the world. And God doesn't work the world through chesed or through din. God works the world through a calculated formula of I need to be this now and I need to be that a different time. That's when a person sees godliness. Hidgalut ha'arazu shel haneshama derech le'aguf yotzros yofi pe'er. That's this beauty that it comes from. When I talk about the idea of centrist orthodoxy, any centrist position is not supposed to be warm. It's not supposed to be lukewarm, and unfortunately it becomes that very often. And sometimes you see more passion in the right wing or in the left wing on their social action causes and all this kind of stuff like that. The center is not supposed to be a blending of the two. It's not dumping the two into one pot, saying we can't be too much this and we can't be too much that. That's not what the center is supposed to be. The center is supposed to be to take actively, intelligently, from the right and from the left. to say that the entire world is there to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every emotion, every profession, every wisdom, everything out there is a way to get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu passionately. Passionately, not in a lukewarm kind of way. Being in the center is not about what you're not. That's the way we often define our view of Yiddishkeit. We're not so crazy that way, but we're not as lenient as that. That's not what the center is supposed to be. Yaakov Avinu is able to not get so caught up in one way of thinking that he can view every single situation, every single aspect of our lives and say, what is the most godly way of living this moment? What is the most godly way of living a life that includes so many different pieces? That's what the center is supposed to be, but that's so hard. Yaakov is the Bechir Ha'avot. Yaakov did something that is very difficult to follow. But that's what it means to be in the center. It means to pull from the passion of one side. He had all the Ava Yaakov that Avram had. He had all the Yira that, and if it wasn't for the two of them, he wouldn't have had it. He wouldn't know what it meant. He wouldn't have had things to pluck from. He can't say, I'm going to channel my grandfather right now. I'm going to channel my father. And he wouldn't have had that. He wouldn't have had those images in his mind of how to be a great extrovert and how to be a great introvert. But now that those two models existed, the goal was not to say, Rachamim, the Midah of Rachamim is to say, don't be so extreme. Don't be so whatever. That's what we think of Rachamim as. Merciful, it's not. No. Merciful is to look at the entire picture and to recognize that any one of the extremes alone, if that's the only thing you keep hammering away day to day to day to day, is not going to get you to the completion. It's not going to get you to perfection. It's to be able to understand the aspects of Avram, to be understand the aspects of Yitzchak, to call upon them. That's what it means to be God. God is not loving. God is not judging. God is perfect. Perfection consists of knowing when to be one, when to be another, and how to blend them in a way that looks towards a future that allows those around us and ourselves, in our case, to be able to achieve perfection. Those are the golden words of the Pachad Yitzchak. I hope that I have done some justice to them, or at least understood them at all. But I think that's the best way to understand, you know, what it was that Yaakov represented. And that'll give us a better understanding as we now turn over the coming weeks to, it's probably, we only got two paragraphs done this week, so this was short, but it's hard to explain. So probably 2-3 weeks now till we finish the chapter, but that'll give us a better sense. We're finally going to say, at the end of understanding each one of the avos, we're going to say, so what does that say about the tefillah that they gave us? What does they say about the tefillah that they gave us? Ma'ariv is not just sort of a bland end to the day. It doesn't make sense that Ma'ariv would be the bland end of the day. I gave it all out at Shacharis. Mincha, I stood, I stopped, I came before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ma'ariv, I got to do something before I go to sleep. No, it's not supposed to be a bland end. It's the climax of the day. It's taking the lessons that I've learned of the day. Now, we got to be awake enough to do it. It's not always so simple. But to take the lessons of having gone through the morning and gone through the afternoon and to say, what have I learned? How do I put this together? And just like we said that the day is a microcosm for a life, so our lives need to be a microcosm for our lives need to reflect that idea of a day. That as we get older, as we get to the night of our lives, unfortunately for so many people, the night of their lives is a very parv time. It's a time to simply, unfortunately, sometimes medical issues don't allow us to have that night where we're awake. Just like we struggle at night to stay awake, so we struggle at the nighttime of our life to stay awake. But that nighttime of our life is not supposed to be a time where it's bland. It's supposed to be a time where we've taken the lessons of our youth and our middle age, of the days of enthusiasm and going out, to the days of being a little more concerned and making sure we're okay, to take all the lessons of those lives and to use the wisdom of that to live that evening of our lives. To be able to not be bland or burnt out so hard, but to be able now to be wiser, to be able to be much more agile, to be able to be much more emotionally and intellectually mature, that we're able to call upon the different life experiences to know how to navigate things in that evening of our lives. That is Yaakov Avinu, best as I can understand it. And I believe that that's what he's teaching us for tonight. Thoughts?
What?
What?
No. I didn't hear what you said.
I said thoughts.
Oh no, I was gonna.
I thought your thought was what? That would be appropriate response.
So, are the tefillah? Do they have any sort of manifestation of their actual like personality within them? Like, can you like look within like?
Yeah. So we'll talk about that when we summarize. But remember that we talked about the fact that Shacharis is long and flowing,
yes,
full of praise.
Yeah.
Mincha is the shortest. It's just right to the point. It's just standing before God, being shocked back into reality. Ma'ariv is shorter than Mincha, shorter than Shacharis, but not as short as Mincha. It talks not just about the future. It talks about the past day, and it talks about the next day also. So we'll review that. When we get to the end of this chapter, we'll have to kind of review and make it as practical as we can. How do I apply this when I'm trying to daven Shacharis, when I'm trying to daven Mincha, when I'm trying to daven a Ma'ariv? But I would say one thing. If we're only going to give 2 minutes to that Shmon Esrei, this is way too deep for any of that. This is going to require a little more thought as we take 3 steps forward or in the middle of the Shmon Esrei or as we're preparing to start davening, a little more thought to be able to get in these very deep ideas into the 3 times of every day. Okay, everybody.
Along those lines, practical.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about, like, how do you see these characteristics of Yaakov and Chumash?
Well, it mostly develops. It's a good question. It's a better question than I'd like it to be. In other words, Yaakov's life is certainly the most complex and the biggest roller coaster of any of the Avos, right? Now, that we certainly see. Avram's life is generally, except for a few of the tests, blessed, king, Nasi Haaretz, jump into the fire, it's going to be okay, you know, like that. Yitzchak's life is characterized by, you know, someone trying to kill him, and just quiet and intense and, you know, and that moment of constantly being and looking up and seeing God. Yaakov's life is the most real life for us, multifaceted in many ways. He has moments of joy, his moments of sorrow, his moments where he needs to navigate through many things. The question is, when does Yaakov become Yaakov? And I think that's what a deep dive into Chumash will help us understand. Is he Yaakov already when he runs away? On some level, that's what the image of the ladder is saying, is that certainly the potential is there for Yaakov. But as you see Yaakov go through all of his trials and tribulations, one gets the sense that he doesn't really become Yaakov till closer to the end of his life. Right?
When he becomes Yisrael.
When he becomes Yisrael. And especially when we have the denouement of the story in last week's Parsha, when he meets Yosef. No, when he meets Yosef, really. And everything makes sense. Right? All those years of difficulty and everything. And he exclaims, according to Chazal, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. It's not Hashem, which is generally the way we refer to God, you know, in a more giving way. It's not Elokeinu. He's one complete whole. So I think one has to really do a deep dive into Yaakov's life to see that. And I think also the Chumash emphasizes that by giving Yaakov so much playtime in the movie, right? He is by far the most playtime in terms of all the vicissitudes of his life and how that carries out. So that I'm more comfortable with that idea that Yaakov becomes this by the time he's blessing his sons at the end in this week's Parsha, then Yaakov just always was this from the time, you know, he started running away. But it's a better question than I have an answer for. If you look at the text itself, you don't see that sense of perfection, I don't think, from the simple pshat of the psukim, the way that Chazal tried to bring it out of, you know, who Yaakov was.
Thank you.
Okay, everybody. Till next week. A lot to think about. A lot of life lessons from this.
Thank you.
Okay.
Have a good night.
Have a good week. Bye.
Bye.